We are now recording at 10:03.
Okay. We are back in session. Right. And we're on item 5B, review, discussion, and possible action on informal hearing in case number 18-24, John Fisher. John, I understand you're here?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Why don't you come forward? Morning.
Good morning.
We'll start by introducing the board staff and then you. So I'm Mark Cornwall, president.
Yushka Remick, vice president.
Karen Bustillo, secretary.
Kelly King, professional member.
I know all the name days because I'm not going to remember
this. Joshua Greer, public member.
Michael Clinton, public member.
Morning. Mona Baskin, assistant attorney general, representing the board.
Karen Donahue, executive director.
Monica Crowley, licensing administrator.
Okay.
Monica Cardoza, administrative
service officer.
Okay. So the purpose of an informal hearing is to hear relevant facts by way of testimony and exhibits to determine if a violation of any of the board's statutes or rules has occurred. If the board finds a violation, it may take any of the following disciplinary actions. One, issue a decree of censure. Two, place restrictions upon a licensee's practice. Three, issue a civil penalty of not more than $500 for violation, per violation. Four, issue other disciplinary action. Five, issue a non-disciplinary order requiring completion of continuing education as specified by the board. If the board finds the violation or possible violation of statute or rule is not sufficiently serious to warrant disciplinary action, the board may issue a non-disciplinary advisory letter. If the board finds that there was no violation of the board's statutes and rules, the board may dismiss the case. If the board finds that the violations warrant suspension or revocation of the licensee license, the board shall vote the matter to a formal hearing. Okay? So, would you like to make an opening statement, if any?
No, I understand the regulation that I violated is a 10-day disclosure rule. I tried to explain that in a couple of letters to the board, that if I had found it, I would have been diligent and proactive as I have been on everything else regarding this incident. It's just not there. It's buried in clauses, and clauses and chapters.
And I don't mean to interrupt, but you do need to swear us in first before you give his testimony.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Do I have to say that all over again?
Yeah. And for the record, it has to be exactly the same.
The recording is right.
Yeah.
Play it back.
Yeah. Let's swear everybody.
All right.
So raise your right hand. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay, thank you. All right, now you can.
My apologies.
Okay. The regulation I am in violation of is the 10-day disclosure rule. After the evening in question, within days, I went to the statutes, straight to the statutes, physical therapy, professions and occupations, down one, physical therapy. Read the whole thing, because I thought, what's this going to mean for my license? First time anything ever. There's nothing about the 10-day rule. First time I ever heard about that was when Ms. Donahue made a reference to it, and I thought, what? So I went back and looked again. Then I realized it's another chapter called Health Professions, 13 chapters out of umpteen chapters distant. So I read it, and I said, okay, there it is. If there had been an asterisk, go also see blah, blah, chapter, in a heartbeat, in a New York heart, but it's not there. I think that, look, I don't want to be out of place, but my suggestion is that would be great for every health professional, because they're all in alphabetical order. But health professionals, you start with an H, way down the line. You've got chiropractors, dentists, nurses, P, physical therapy. And then way down the line, you've got health professionals. that's all I had to say.
Okay. All right. Board members, do any of you have questions for Mr. Fisher?
I do. It's not an unfair criticism of the statute, and I encourage you to take that up in the legislature.
I'm going to give it to you guys because you have the position and the authority. And
can you just tell us, my concern, and frankly, I was concerned about the level of the blood alcohol content. That's what when I saw this, that's high. And so can you just tell us what happened?
Yeah, I drank too much. I went overboard.
And I have your narrative, but just your character oath, and tell us what happened the day, I believe you got your tax, finished your taxes or something, but just tell us what happened.
And my taxes in, it was Easter, I'm a Christian, not practicing Catholic anymore, and I'm celebrating, okay? I had some white wine left over in the fridge. I've been drinking wine seriously since the early 80s. It's wonderful exploration. I've been serious about chocolate since forever. Serious about green teas and black teas, like gourmet level. So I was on the computer, had some white wine. I had planned 2 days before. I'm a bit of a foodie, okay? A really kick, I can't say the other word, meal. And I had a terrific bottle of not inexpensive wine to go with it. I think I mentioned the Chateau Gloria. I don't know if you're familiar with wine, but there's a classification from 1855 called classified growths. Gloria is just one below that, and it's in between two classified wines. It's good stuff. That was the main thing. Some of it was used to make a sauce that I make, a reduction sauce with minced shallots and red wine and butter to finish. A little bit was put in a plastic bag to marinate the prime grade ribeye cap. And I was off to the races. So I had some wine before dinner. I had it while I was preparing dinner. And I was sitting on the couch watching the finish of qualifying for Formula One that weekend. And I called my girlfriend, and 3-4 phone calls she did not answer. This woman is never out at night. She had a job where she started work at 3 o'clock in the morning. She was a histology technician. She had to get up at 1:30. Okay. She never goes out at night. And there was no answer. The woman had help. She's 60. She was, I'm old. I don't look it, but I am. 69 years old with tachycardia and high blood pressure, which I took with my self-inflated cuff. I had to tell her a couple of times, would you please go get that looked at? Don't ever argue with a stubborn Hungarian. It won't get you anywhere. So, okay. She'd rather chew on turmeric roots and this disgusting greenish thing she put in her food. Okay. But when that happens, I made a snap decision. I got my car. I paid for it.
Have you ever had any diagnosis of alcohol abuse disorder? You ever felt like you've drunk to excess previously?
Not like that.
You think you said it was a Saturday?
Yes, sir.
So you weren't working that day?
I don't have to work. I have enough money to live the rest of my life without and pay all my bills. I love what I do. I have some outstanding osteopathic manual skills. I was sponsored into the American Academy of Osteopathy by a fellow of the Academy. I love it. Part of my identity. So I keep working. I don't advertise. People find me.
And just going back to my question.
So I didn't have patients for the next 3 or 4 days.
Okay, but and you did work that day.
Okay.
Do you remember that there was an accident?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the accident?
Yeah, part of it.
What do you remember?
Going through 3 traffic lights successfully, taking the left hand onto the frontage road at Orange Grove, and saw the light was changing yellow, and I stepped on it. I have a performance car. Not a Ferrari, it's not a Porsche, but it's a turbocharged performance car. I participated with car clubs on closed course racetracks for several years. I was even a dancer. Okay? Well, I know a little bit about vehicle dynamics thanks to those experiences. Something called a trailing throttle oversteer. When you step on the gas, the weight of the car is transferred to the back. When you brake, it's transferred to the front. There's another phenomenon that if you let off the gas, it also takes weight off the back, which makes the back end tail happy. Try to take the turn too fast. But, you know, at a racetrack, I could do that. Control. I didn't control at that time. And I jumped the curb, broke the suspension, and boom.
And the reason you didn't report it to the board is because you just didn't report the statute?
No, I went to the statutes Monday or Tuesday. I was scared out of my pants, to be honest. I was 72 years old, now I'm 74. I've never had anything go wrong, been accused of anything, arrested, anything.
But you did disclose it during your renewal, right?
Yeah.
I don't have any other questions.
Mr. Fisher, did you ever think of calling the board?
Well, I did once, didn't I? Was telling you?
After the complaint, yes.
I think we talked, yeah.
But before the complaint to find out what the regulations would be?
No, I looked at it. I looked at the Arizona statutes which covered physical therapy.
You obviously didn't look at all.
I kind of tried to explain that.
You know, I think I'm wondering if you're taking this seriously because you seem to be. You don't seem to be. What would have happened if you jumped the curb and hit someone?
I took note of that, too.
Because I'm finding this very serious.
I agree.
It's very irresponsible for you to. You can drink however much you want, but then to get into a car is not very responsible.
It was a snap decision under bizarre circumstances. That's all I can say.
Mr. Fisher, when was the date of your initial licensure?
The fall of 1993 in New York, where I lived for 30 years.
Okay, and in Arizona?
Well, I applied and took the statutes test in New York before I even moved here. That was in 2006. Yes, I think.
And so how many renewal periods have you completed in Arizona?
I'm going to do the math every 2 years.
Okay. And so then it was on your renewal that reminded you of the obligation of the 10-day report?
It is?
I'm asking.
No, not that I know of.
Okay, but that's when you self-reported? On this most
yes.
recent renewal period.
And I knew I would be doing that anyway because remembering from past renewals, that 10-day, to my knowledge, is not on the renewal. I tried to comply and be diligent and conscientious with all the regulations.
I don't have any additional questions.
Dr. Cornwall, members of the board, you may find this, you do have a rule that deals with mandatory reporting under ARS 323208, and it's R424312, mandatory reporting requirement, that requires an applicant, licensee, or certificate holder who is charged with a misdemeanor involving conduct that may affect patient safety or a felony provide a written notice to the board within 10 working days after the charge is filed. So that section of the general health care law is very unique, and you have it within your rules. So just for that information.
May I ask a question?
Not to me. No, you may not.
To whom?
The board, if you wish, if they allow you.
Okay. Okay, to everybody. Does that 10-day reporting apply to all healthcare professions, like nurses and chiropractors and dentists?
It doesn't matter. You're a physical therapist. That's in your rules on that.
Thank you. 4 through 10, thank you.
Any other questions, please?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Do we have a motion?
I move that we find findings of fact as follows.
Yeah.
Any findings of fact, right, woman?
Yes, findings of fact.
I move
first.
That we find findings of fact as follows. Mr. Fisher was charged with DUI on 4/15/2017. Mr. Fisher did not report this charge within 10 days, within the required 10-day notification period. Mr. Fisher did report this charge on his next renewal of his application. And that would conclude the findings of fact.
Second. Okay, a motion and a second. Any discussion?
For the findings of facts, Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes. Okay.
For conclusions of law, will we find a violation of 32-3208?
Second. Discussion.
All right. Ms.
Remick? Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
I almost got it.
Almost. Almost happened.
For discipline, I move that we censure the licensee and issue a civil penalty in the amount of
I would like to amend that to include to take the jurisprudence exam.
Can they censure?
Yeah,
they can, right?
Second for discussion.
Is this covered in the jurisprudence?
That's what we're checking.
Okay.
We're checking real quick.
Because if it is, I agree with you.
If it's not, then I agree.
The board's options under ARS 32-2047 are to issue a decree of censure. You can go ahead and probate the license or impose a civil penalty of $500. So.
And our question is this...
Can they add?
No. Well, oh. My question is 3208 covered on the jurisprudence?
I do not know. I don't know the questions on the jurisprudence exam to be able to tell you that.
I would not know, Mr. Greer.
It might be more appropriate to take an ethics course.
Can they add the jurisprudence to the degree of censure?
Yeah. If you went ahead and issued and required him to take the jurisprudence exam, then you would need to make a short period of probation that would early termination or would self-terminate upon him successfully completing the jurisprudence exam, however you'd want to do that.
They would have to put a timeline on for that.
Right. But it'd have to be under that probationary term.
I would leave the motion as is. I'm an attorney, and I've always thought that the placements of 32-3208 was a very odd placement in the statute, and this is the first licensee who's missed it because of where he's located. And so I think they should know it. People are presumed to know what the law says. It's in there. But it's not an unfair criticism to say this isn't located in the Physical Therapy Practice Act. So I would leave it as a censure and a civil penalty of $500.
And the timeline to pay the penalty?
6 months, but 60 days.
He's got plenty of money to pay that stuff.
No, not. I am a Subaru, not a Ferrari.
So the, do we have a? Yeah, do we have a second?
I second, yeah, for discussion.
Further discussion? Ready for the vote?
Can you repeat the motion again?
So the motion is a decree of censure, including a civil penalty of $500, which needs to be paid within 60 days.
Thank you.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
No.
Mr. Greer?
Aye.
Mr. Clinton?
No.
Motion passes. And that concludes this hearing.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, let's reorder the agenda and go back to item 4B1. Review and discussion of applicants tabled on January 22nd, 2019 for consideration approval of applications of physical therapy licensure upon receipt of passing scores on the FEP and AP law and final transcript. Scott. Scott.
This time I'm going to recuse myself.
Can you have it?
You give it to Mark.
Okay. All right. So, Scott, would you like to make a statement?
Yes, I would. Just give a little background information on what caused the academic perturbation and part of the reason why I'm here today. So over the course of the fall 2017 semester, each of my classmates was required to give a presentation on a topic of their choice to the entire NAUPT program. These presentations were on a weekly basis, spread over the entirety of the semester. When it was not our turn to present, we were asked to observe and fill out a feedback form on what we believe were strong and weak points of the given presentation. November 9th, 2017, I made the decision to skip my classmates' presentations. To make matters worse, I chose to fill out a feedback form in order to create the appearance of actually being there. These decisions were both selfish and dishonest, two traits that I like to think are uncharacteristic of who I am. Most importantly, are uncharacteristic of the physical therapist that I wish to be. Following this day, I was placed on academic probation, with my requirements being to uphold exemplary attendance and to meet Ms. Karen Donahue to discuss dishonesty and fraud within the field of physical therapy. Ms. Donahue provided a number of anecdotes detailing how new graduates often make poor decisions that lead to license revocation or even criminal charges. Although the cases that she shared with me left a lasting impression, my greatest takeaway from the entire situation is the idea of accountability. By being placed on academic probation, I was held accountable for the decisions that I made that day by my school and faculty. Nearly a year and a half later, we're here again today, and I'm still being held accountable for my actions. This idea of accountability is what I would like to take with me into the profession of physical therapy. As a physical therapist, I must be accountable not only for myself, but more importantly, my patients. I will be accountable for their safety, their well-being, and in a majority of cases, their livelihood. This is not something that I take lightly, and I am grateful for the lessons I've learned throughout this experience. Thank you.
The same on the board. Questions?
Mr. Manicki,
yes.
I'm looking at a letter that you signed.
Yes.
And it has DPT. Do you realize you have to put PT, DPT?
I did not know. So my thought on that was that I'm not a PT at this point because I have not passed my licensure exam, but I do have the education of a doctor in physical therapy, so that was
I'll
my
accept that.
Understanding.
Is this a, this academic probation, was this a formal probation with the college?
Yes, it was. And I sent over the criteria and sign sheet from the dean as well as myself.
And what was the reason why you chose, well, let me just back up. If you had skipped the presentation but not falsified your attendance, what would have happened?
I think that I made the wrong decision to skip it, but to even go the next level and to falsify a feedback survey, that just made it that much worse. So I don't know, that would have been at the discretion of the dean or the higher-ups, but I imagine they would have penalized me, but might not have been on academic probation. I don't know. I can't speak to what they may or may not have done.
So what were you thinking when you decided to falsify the record?
I wasn't thinking of how big of a deal it was. I was thinking that I was missing a presentation of one of my colleagues, and I just sent him the feedback saying, great job. I wasn't thinking. It was a poor choice on my part. And to this day, I regret it.
Would it be fair to say that you were thinking more about what you wanted to do that day than?
That is exactly correct, and as I made in my statement, it was selfish, and I stand by that statement.
Do you understand why the board wanted to talk to you?
To make a lasting impression, so I know that what I did, it won't be forgotten. I won't walk out of, or if I hadn't been here, I won't just carry on with my life. As I said, it'll create a lasting impression, which it certainly has.
Because in my mind, the best prediction of future behavior is past behavior. Mm-hmm. Your past behavior tells me that you're going to do something like this again. Mm-hmm. And you're going to falsify a record, a medical record, a billing record, because of what you want rather than what the patient wants. So help me understand that that's not going to happen.
So I had several meetings with the dean of my college who said that exact same statement. And I tried to explain that I draw a firm line between my education and my work, and I understand that it is not so easy to see. I completely agree, and it's been made abundantly clear that there isn't as firm of a line as I previously had thought, as I thought back in the day. I do feel this is now my third meeting that I've attended. I've seen a number of cases of fraud, of blatant wrongdoing, and I believe that I'm much less severe than them. I am not one of the people who I have seen. Ms. Fountain, you came and spoke to us, our whole class, a couple semesters ago, and she used the word Darth Vaders. There's these Darth Vaders who have nothing but bad intentions, who do wrong. And I know clearly that I'm not a Darth Vader. That's a weird thing to say on record. But I'm, to that extent, I'm not that individual.
If I remember my Star Wars well enough, Darth Vader didn't start as Darth Vader.
I said the same thing. Yeah.
He progressed into Darth Vader.
He had good intentions.
So help me understand how you're not going to progress into a Darth Vader.
The last year and a half of my life, I don't consider myself a stressful person, but it has been a stressful time making these meetings with the people, with Ms. Donahue, with my dean and my college. I've never been someone who meets with my professors, who meets with deans, and to have my first impressions at meetings with these individuals be under such negative circumstances. It was pretty eye-opening to me. My dean also said that she didn't want to see me in front of the board, and here I am today in front of the board. So it's, as I said, this has made a lasting impression, and I have no intention to falsify records, falsify anything again.
Mr. Mankey, one of the great teachers of life, right, is experience. Have you at all, since this has occurred, have you shared this experience with other people as an example or kind of a testimony to the importance of integrity in everything?
When I showed up this morning, I was nervous when I saw that the class behind me was, in fact, behind me. So I have not directly shared it, but now that you say this question, I'm very happy that they're all here today so that I can a point can be made of myself. So no, not directly, but I'm happy to today.
So Mr. Manike, I'm going to give you some motherly advice.
Okay.
Everyone deserves a second chance, but not at the... They'll never come before this board again.
Oh,
I will
not.
One statement I kind of disagree with you on, that where you said you can compromise different aspects of your life. Who you are as a person is what you are at home, at work, in your educational settings, how you treat wait staff in restaurants, everything. If you have integrity, that will, you should be able to show that across the board in every setting that you set foot in. It's not, okay, I have workplace behavior and play behavior. I'm not talking about, you know, dressing business casual versus jeans and t-shirts that you might wear to a theater. We're talking about how you treat people, how you conduct yourself, and that, you know, as Dr. Cornwell said, you know, your past behavior is a predictor, good predictor of future, and that you need to really look at good behavior across the board. You know, how do you drive even? Are you one of these people that cut people off? Are you, you know, a reality TV star in people's faces and restaurants and, you know, in other places? Because that, you have to look at your total behavior, because the lines merge. And who you are is who you are. It's not like, oh, you're a good employee. Well, if you're good, you should be good across the board. And we don't want to see you back here. Be good.
The other? Okay. Do I have a motion?
I make a motion to approve Mr. Manneke's physical therapist licensure upon receipt of passing scores on the MPTE AZ Law and final transcript.
Three seconds.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
There's one more. Yes.
Yeah. 10:35
going to recuse myself from.
Oh, sorry. Thank you.
The next one.
All right. Thank you for making that one.
All right, next item is 4B2, Travis Newhouse.
Good morning.
Morning. Okay. So, would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes. I would just like everyone to be aware that I was in the same circumstances as Scott. I elected to skip a PICO presentation and further went on to fill out an evaluation form indicating that I was at the presentations. I would like to apologize for my actions that ultimately led to me being placed on academic probation during my time at NAU. I know that I was in the wrong, and there is no excuse for my actions. It was poor decision-making on my part, and I constantly regret what I did. These decisions have added so much unnecessary stress to my life and professional career that could have easily been avoided. That being said, I will always hold myself accountable for my actions, and I will not shy away from the consequences. However, I will not let this singular event define me as a future physical therapist, medical professional, and individual. I do hold myself to high ethical and moral standards, and I believe I have established this throughout the remaining clinical rotations. My clinical instructors, patients, coworkers, and friends would only have positive remarks to say about me and would suggest that those actions that I took that day were extremely uncharacteristic of my true self. I understand the comparison of what I did to fraud, but I do not think they are on the same severity level. I would never purposely do anything to negatively impact the life of my patients. I take my professional duties very seriously and would never do something that would hinder the credibility of the field of physical therapy. Once again, I do apologize for my actions, and I appreciate everyone's time for listening to me.
Any comments, questions?
Mr. Newhouse, were you surprised that the board didn't approve your physical therapist license right away, the initial application?
Yeah, I was a little surprised.
Why?
Just because I didn't necessarily expect that to deem me ineligible for my MPT exam, so I was just caught off a little surprise.
You see how the the board, especially after hearing Mr. Mackey, is concerned about how this may seem trivial to you, but it goes into your professional career and how, as Dr. Cornwall has pointed out, how you may think, well, I got away with it this time, I can do something on a note or documentation or a patient. I mean, this is serious stuff.
I do understand that it is very serious business, and I do acknowledge what I did was a serious action. That is not the type of person I am, and I suppose during the time as I was going through it, I thought it was a trivial situation. Obviously, very much not.
It's not.
No, not at all. And my eyes have been very much opened up to that.
I'm going to put my CPA in, you know, you mentioned patients, which, you know, is primary. But, you know, please don't take a cavalier attitude toward, you know, your other responsibilities. You know, you have third party payers that you're going to be dealing with as a professional, and your integrity will impact that too. You know, as we saw, you know, billing fraud is an issue. We've had people before us. And just because you're good with patients and you're a little flippant on the monetary side of things, that could land you in just as big trouble, if not more. So, you know, like I said previously, you know, how you act in every situation is truly who you are, not just, well, I'm good with patients, but I could steal from the insurance companies. You know, it's, you are a package, and you, if you're a good person, you'll act good with everybody in the, you know, situations. So please keep that in mind.
You're going to be responsible completing CEUs, et cetera. And you're also possibly going to be responsible for supervising a PTA like me.
Mr. Newhouse, had you, prior to this class that of the solicitor, had you already completed an ethics course in your program?
Yeah, I believe we completed it this summer beforehand. Mm-hmm.
What was your takeaway from that class?
I personally thought that I already had high morals and high ethics. I kind of feel like the event that took place has labeled me a pretty ugly name, rightfully so. I don't want to suggest that the actions I took were minor, but I just don't feel like that is an accurate representation of who I am as a person and what I value in life. So once again, it goes back to just making a couple silly mistakes by skipping the PICO presentations and then indicating that I was at PICO presentations.
So you've been in the clinic.
Yes.
And so you've had the opportunity to witness therapists with high integrity, with mediocre integrity, and probably some that, you know, that wouldn't be the people that you would like to become. I guess that just that feeling of, we don't want you to be that third person, or even that second person. You know, mediocrity is really seems to be very pervasive in our society right now, and it really is a concern for us handing you the profession over the next few years. The only way that we can ensure that the profession is going to continue to be the best for every patient that we see is to ensure that you are going to achieve that higher level of integrity throughout your career. And so I do want you to look around. I do want you to see what's out there. And I want you to really work on trying to place yourself at those higher levels. And that some of that is going to be not associating as much with people who can lead you astray, because it's out there. We all have those friends.
Yeah.
So it's my advice.
Any other questions? I just want you to know that the board is more concerned about patients that you will treat rather than you. Okay? And so that's why we wanted to talk to the both of you. And said, we are trying to figure out whether or not it is safe for the patients that you will see, okay, for you to be licensed. And I understand that you're saying that you changed, but in reality, there is no evidence yet that you've changed. Okay? All we have is your word. What evidence we do have is what you didn't do well. Okay? So we're being asked to make a decision about the future patients, okay, on imperfect information. So I hope we don't make the wrong decision.
I don't know.
I'd like to ask, Mr.
Newhouse,
what would you have done if we denied your license?
Try to prove to you in some aspect that I do have high morals and good ethics. It would be extremely heartbreaking to me. I didn't really let anyone down, especially my family, myself, of course. So it would be a very...
What kind of evidence would you bring before the board on an appeal?
What was that?
What kind of evidence would you bring on an appeal?
I would probably ask some of my CIs if they would be willing to come in and speak on my behalf, or even going in pulling up CPIs would be good evidence suggesting my trustworthiness, my morals. I think all of the things that we went over on my CPI, it was in good standing with.
Do you think the instructor that would give you the good reference, the one that you skipped the class?
I still think that she would, because I've talked to her numerous times before. I still think that she would give me a good reference.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? So I move that we approve his application for physical therapist licensure upon receipt of passing scores on the MPTE, ED law, and file transcript.
Second.
Call the question.
Dr. Cornwell.
Yes.
Dr. Bastia.
Yes.
Dr. King.
Yes.
Ms. Hunter.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Aye.
Mr. Clinton.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Good luck.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, let's move to item 5C, review, discussion, and possible action on request for modification of board order for online education, case number 18-08, Antoine Farag. Is there any chance that Antoine here?
No, he lives out of state, okay. So he won't be present. 5C.
Okay.
It's just a name of the individual who does nationwide documentation courses. It's a popular course for people to take regarding billing and documentation.
Is that in person or
online? That's in person.
Have we seen the curriculum?
I have reviewed the curriculum. It's primarily focused on Medicare, but it does include, we do accept it for the documentation hours.
Thank you.
All right.
are there online courses that, is 6 hours the minimum, or can you find an online course for 2 hours?
You can find a short online course. The ABTA has a lot of courses that you can take online regarding documentation.
Okay. I would move that we modify the board order as follows. Allow him to take 6 hours in person, and he can take the remaining 2 hours online.
Second.
Mr. President, may I ask a question just for clarification to the motion maker? When I read what he wrote, he said the only course I was able to find and attend was the Gowanda course on billing and documentation. So I'm unsure.
He did not attend.
He did not take it
No,
yet?
He found it, but he didn't take
oh,
it.
Oh, he did not take it. Okay, okay, all right. I was unclear. All right, thank you.
So he doesn't have 6 hours yet?
Okay.
I was under the impression he did. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for the clarification. So it's been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
No.
Mr. Greer?
Aye.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay. All right. Item 5D1, review, discussion, and possible action for review of potential opening of a complaint. Elizabeth Linson.
You have to. You would take a motion of no action.
I move that we take no action.
Second. I need a moment, please, to open up the file.
Who's second?
I did.
Thanks.
Oh, yes. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So we have a motion. It's been seconded. Any discussion?
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Aye.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes. All right, next would be 5D2, Rebecca Wong. This is again the views of possible opening a possible complaint.
I make a motion to take no action.
Second. It's been moved and seconded to take no action. Any discussion?
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Aye.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Who seconded?
Karen.
All right. All right. Jerry Price.
I make a motion that we review for potential opening a complaint.
The motion would be to open a complaint.
Open a complaint.
Yeah.
Second.
So then we'd have an investigation, correct?
Correct.
So we have a motion to open a complaint with a second. Any discussion? The current ethics are still part of the statute, correct?
Correct. So we could find violation of ethics.
Okay. Any discussion about the motion?
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Was
there
a
also be opening under 32.2044.10, or just be limited to ethics?
The investigation has been promoted.
Right. We can add violations to it.
If you want them to look at some specific.
We do have, I have taken testimony in which she has claimed that that has not occurred.
I saw that.
Yes. But that will be part of the investigation as well. Yeah, I get it. I understand. Okay.
Okay. All right. Princeton.
Oh, so I guess the board needs to clarify, did you want to add ARS 204410 or?
Well, I just didn't want to limit it to solely ethics. So we look at everything.
So do you want to include it in the notice?
Well,
So the way the investigation goes or the complaint would go is that whatever we notice them for is what they're going to respond to.
Yes, I think we need to notice them.
Thank you.
But you haven't completed an investigation.
No, I just had a phone call conversation. We didn't open a complaint.
So I'm assuming that during the course of your investigation, you would come up with, and you just want to make, Mr. Grimm just doesn't want that one to be dropped off.
Sure. That, so we'll notice for that as well.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Just so I'm clear. All right.
So the motion is to open a complaint, notice for ethics in 204410. Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Aye.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
All right. Sean, we're at that.
Ms. Donahue, is the person that filed this complaint another therapist or a patient or a bystander?
I cannot tell you. I don't know the relationship of this person to the complainant. If you're going to open a complaint, I would like you to identify the statute of law that you would like to be noticed for.
Who seconded?
We don't have a second yet.
Okay.
Second for discussion.
Do you want me to read it to you so you're not all searching for it?
Thank you.
Practicing as a physical therapist or working as a physical therapist assistant when physical or mental abilities are impaired by disease or trauma, by the use of controlled substances or other habit-forming drugs, chemicals, or alcohol, or by other causes.
And do we know who the gentleman is who's also mentioned in the complaint, AT?
You have as much information as I do. So the allegation is that potentially he's been impaired while working.
Okay. So the motion is on the table and it has been seconded. Any other discussion?
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Aye.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Okay. Last one in this section is Stephen Sorensen.
Madam Attorney General, I need to recuse myself from this vote.
Okay.
Do I just get up?
Move up. There's a recusal form, but we can fill it out later.
Thank you.
Okay. And then you're going to leave the table and sit in the gallery.
At
10:57 a.m.
I move that we open.
Second.
I was thinking of waiting until there's a verdict.
I was thinking along the same lines, until there was conclusion.
That would be terribly difficult to track. You have to decide to take no action or open a complaint.
Okay.
You could table indefinitely, but it could be indefinitely.
In my understanding of the statute, it's 10 days to notify of a charge.
Correct.
Not a conviction.
Correct.
And that's the violation,
is
that he didn't notify.
No, he did notify.
Oh,
yeah.
He did notify you within the 10 days.
He did. Since he did notify, I was thinking, well, maybe it's more serious than we just don't know. We'll see what the courts say. But I understand the practicality or impracticality of that. So,
So you could open and then possibly an advisory letter or something if there's some communication that you want to make with the licensee, but it would require an open and an investigation in order for you to have some sort of communication with the licensee.
So I would be in favor of opening because this individual worked that day and it was an extreme DUI. I appreciate very much the self-report, but I would like a little further information.
So
I would be in favor of opening.
All right, I understand that. All right, well, there is a motion and it has been seconded to open up an investigation.
Who seconded it?
Anushka, Ms. Remick.
All right, any other discussion?
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. Bastille?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Okay. So on 5E.
We need to.
One. Do we need to
take a break so we can get them on the phone?
Okay. All right. So let's take a break. They're going to set up a phone.
So a break at 11 o'clock.
All right.